For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, September the 4th, 1994. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
I think most of you know who Dr. Null is. I think everybody here has been here at least part of this camp meeting. And he is a medical doctor, has a clinic over in Salina, Kansas, and that's his way of earning a living, but his profession is deliverance. We're glad that he is one of our board members here and that he's a helper in taking care of the babies that come to Lake Hamilton Bible Campground. Colonel Speed Wilson's also a board member of the campground, as Jack Harris and Tommy Cook, and we're just blessed to have such wonderful men to help us to guide the affairs of this place. Dr. Null.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Can y'all hear me in the back?
I don't pray very well sitting down either. Let's all rise and we'll open in prayer.
Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just come before you this day, Lord. Lord, we just come before you humbly, Lord. We ask that you release your anointing to come forth now and touch us all, Lord. Anoint the word as it comes forth, Lord God. For it's your word, Lord, that breaks the rock, Lord. And you are the deliverer, Lord. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you and bless you and glorify you. Lord, we just ask you to send your war angels now, Lord, to surround this campground, Lord. And to send the ministering spirits to minister, Lord, and the war angels to gather up all the loose demons and carry them away ever wherever you want them, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to send the ministering spirits now to minister salvation, supplication, grace, and deliverance and healing, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, and we praise you, and we bless you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Well, always carry this large notebook. I often wondered why I don't take most of the pages I don't use out. But I find that if I don't follow my notes, I sometimes get off on rabbit trails. Today we're going to talk about curses. I had a hard time when I first came into deliverance because I didn't understand curses. And I didn't think that a Christian could have a curse on them. And I listened to Brother Wynn Worley's tapes, and Brother Worley talked about curses and having to break curses to get demonic forces to come out and to break curses on your life. And it was something I just didn't understand. And as I moved into deliverance, I found that you had to break curses, but I didn't understand curses. And I asked the Lord one day, I prayed and fasted for a while, and asked the Lord to give me a revelation on curses. And He did. And I came back and I shared it with Glenn and I sat up there and Glenn was sort of working on the tapes and I was sharing with him and I wasn't really sure whether he was even listening. And when I got through, he looked at me and he said, well, it was from God and what you saw was completely right. I said, thank you. And about a month later, Brother Derek Prince came out with a book, Blessing and Cursing, and God had given him my revelation and he got to write it down. But out of the mouths of two witnesses, everything will be established. And so I want to talk to you today about curses. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34. One of the things that I've always liked about Brother Derek Prince, if he teaches, he doesn't teach anything that he can't find scripture for. He never taught out of experience. I will sometimes talk about experience, but I will not get up and formally teach. But I can't back with Scripture because you can get in deception rather quickly teaching from trying to teach from your experience with no scripture to back you. Look at Exodus 34, chapter 5. Here we have Moses, verse 5, chapter 34, verse 5. Moses is getting ready to go back up on the mount. After he had come down, he was getting ready to go back up on the mount. And God descended before him. And it said in verse 5, "And then the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there and proclaimed the name of the Lord." In Hebrew, the name indicates the nature. And so what God was doing was proclaiming his nature before Moses. And this is the nature. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Most people stop when they get to forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Now, the King James says by no means clearing. If you have a New American Standard, it says by no means leaving the guilty unpunished, and visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Well, is that God's nature? Well, if you go back to Exodus 20, and you remember, all of us have memorized the first commandment when it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before my face." That, and the second one is, "I shall not make to thyself any graven image of anything that is in heaven above, or earth beneath, or the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to worship them, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the children of the fathers unto the children of the third and the fourth generation." Now, all of y'all remember that. That's the second commandment. And it's in Exodus 20. And it's also in Deuteronomy 5. And God spoke this. Now, that's an important point I want to make to you, that God spoke this. Now, if you want to look at Numbers 14, verse 18. And here Moses is interceding for the people of Israel. Israel has transgressed. The 40 spies, the spies have come back. And the 10 have given the evil report, and 2 have given the good report, and the people won't go into the promised land. And Moses and Aaron fell on their face, and he is praying. God's told him, he said, "I'm going to kill them all and start over with you." In verse 18, he says, "The Lord is long-suffering, abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you've forgiven this people from Egypt until now." But there's the nature of God again. And if you want other places, it's in Jeremiah 32:18, Amos 4:2, Isaiah 65:7, Lamentations 5:17-18, and Psalm 103:17. That's where it's recited again and again and again. God's nature, and he spoke it forth, and that was a curse that he spoke forth, and it continues in effect today. "Thou shalt have no other gods before my face." And so any time that you get into idolatry, you have at least a four-generation curse on you and your family. People tell me that they just read the horoscope for fun. I say, I hope you enjoy it, because you've cursed yourself and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Although you just did it for fun, you didn't really believe it. But nevertheless, by doing that, you have cursed your children. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now let's look at another one. Turn over to Hosea 4. Now we've looked at this one once before today, but I want to read some more of it. Hosea chapter 4. We started with verse 6. It said that people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. "Because you rejected knowledge, I shall also reject you from being a priest over me. Because you've forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children." But you know, it says your people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The law is there. Brother Win Worley used to give the example that he If you pulled up to the light there and there were several colors, there's red and there's amber and there's green, and you decide, well, I like red. I don't know what those things mean, but I sort of like red. And so you drive on through, and there's a man on a motorcycle who comes with a siren. He pulls you over, and he says, you ran through the red. I said, I know. I like red. Well, I'm sorry. You're supposed to go on through the green. Well, I didn't know that. Oh, you didn't know that. Well, do you think? And he's got a little piece of paper out, and he's writing on it and asking you for your license. Now, but I didn't know. Well, you know now, don't you, as he tears it off and hands it to you. And what do you think you're going to do with that ticket? You're going to have to pay the penalty, even though you did not know. And the same is true. You are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's the reason the Word of God is given to you. As he said, these things are written down for your learning and admiration. Remember in 1 Corinthians 10, he read that to you this morning. These things are written down for your learning and admonition, on whom the end of the ages have come. It's all written down for you. You must learn it. This is the sin of the pastors, of the modern pastors in the church. They do not teach the Word of God. They don't believe it themselves. They're like the Pharisees of Jesus' time. He said, you will go from heaven all over the earth to get one convert, and you make him a worse child of hell than you are. He said, you have denied. You won't come in yourself, and you stop anybody else from coming in. And he said, woe to you for this. Pastors are not teaching the Word of God, unfortunately. The Word of God is very precise. Now, we find in Hosea him, I have a whole teaching on this curse, if anyone is interested. It's called the Curse of Whoredom. And it lasts an hour and a half to cover adequately all the points in this. But I want you to go down channel to verse 11. Well, let's read this thing. 7, the more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory to shame. Shame comes from idolatry. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on iniquity, and it shall be like people like priests. I will punish them for their ways. I will reward them for the deeds. So they have, well, they shall eat, they shall not have enough. Gluttony, you won't be able to get enough to eat. They shall commit harlotry and not increase. Sterility, because they ceased obeying the Lord. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. Wine enslaves the heart. Alcoholism. The people ask counsel of their wooden idols, and their idolatry rod, staff, or idolatry rod, or divination rod informs them. They're asking idols. They're going to Baal and praying to him. And they're going to the witches, and they're asking them to take the divination rod. And they're all different types of divination. How many of y'all ever seen a table tipping? I mean, have you ever seen anybody hold up a gym clip on the end of a string over a pregnant woman? If it turns this way, it's a boy, and this way, it's a girl. Have you ever seen that done? That's divination. It's a curse before God. I hope they enjoyed doing it. I walked into the emergency room at St. John's Hospital, and they said a nurse's name is doing her witchcraft. I said, what is that? Well, she takes this string and this gym clip, and she holds it up, and it spins, and if it points this way, it's the boy, and that way. It always works, I said, yeah. It's called divination, and it's, and you participate in it. You even stay in the room while she does it. God curses you for 4 generations. And they all looked at me, and this lady came in while I was saying it, and she got sort of huffy. I said, honey, you're just a witch. I said, you know that you're just doing witchcraft. You ought to stop that. You're cursing people. She did not receive it too well. Praise you, Lord Jesus. But here it says, a spirit of whoredom has caused them to stray. Whoredom. Well, we're just talking about idolatry. Where does whoredom come in? God considers idolatry a type of spiritual adultery. God considers sexual intercourse outside of marriage a worship, a act of worship to Satan. Amen. That is the reason that most pagan religions are built around sexual immorality. That is the reason that Satanism services always ends with an act of intercourse on the altar. Y'all look at me like, you read Isaiah, read Jeremiah. He said, you've gone out like a whore under every spreading tree. Anybody who comes by. And he was talking about the people going up to the groves, to the temple of Astra. What was up there? It was a whorehouse. Well, I beg your pardon. It was a temple that had temple priestess who accepted offerings to the god and then had intercourse with you. And that's a whorehouse, a house of prostitution. But they had both male and female prostitutes. And if you read, you will find that Hezekiah and Joaz ran the male and female prostitutes out of the temple of God during the Reformation. Sexual promiscuousness has always been associated with pagan religions, with the worship of the devil. And God considers it such. He said you're supposed to be a sanctified people. I'm supposed to be talking about curses. In the name of Jesus. So let's look at, let's go on. He says, you played the harlot against their God. They offer sacrifices on the mountaintops, burn incense on the hills, on the poplars and timbers, because the shade is good. Those are there you are at Baal's altar and Astra's altar, offering your son to Baal, your children to Baal, and your sexual immorality to Astra. That was a Canaanite religion. We're going back to that, you know. The Presbyterian Church USA recently had a big national service in which they worshiped the goddess Aphrodite, and she has a number of names: Diana, Aphrodite, Astra, a number of names, but it's all the same goddess of fertility, wife of Baal. Babylonian religion. Presbyterian Church recently had a great big women's meeting, and they all worshiped the goddess. Great number of the New Agers worship the goddess. There was a lot said about the Presbyterian Church USA, and it was sort of God. They claimed that God had done an act of healing within the body, and it wasn't spoken of anymore. Praise your Lord. They didn't say that they weren't doing it anymore. Therefore, your daughters will commit harlotry, prostitution, and your brides will commit adultery. Now, I won't punish your daughters when they commit a lot of your bridesmen, for the men themselves go apart and offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. Therefore, the people who do not understand will be run over, trampled. This is the curse of whoredom. This curse comes in when you follow foreign gods. It brings sexual sin into your family for four generations. I was ministering to a missionary to France, and she said that perhaps that was the reason that the French people were so sexually promiscuous, because they worshipped idols, that their churches were full of idols, and they prayed to dead people and things like that. And she wondered if that could be the reason that there was so much sexual promiscuity in France. And I told her I thought it probably could be. And that's the curse of whoredom. I've spent 15 minutes on an hour and a half subject. It would be well if you would go back and read this very carefully. There's a tape back there if you'd like to listen to it. The next is, I want you to look at Deuteronomy 23:2. He who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the congregation of God. I wonder if that means vasectomy. That's verse 1. Man, if you've had a vasectomy, I think you better take that to God. Number 2, one who is an illegitimate birth shall not enter the congregation of the Lord even until the 10th generation. The bastard curse goes 10 generations. If you will look at a study done on bastard families, you'll find that this is a terrible curse. It causes mental instability. It causes low IQ. It causes people to be on subjects of welfare. There have been studies done that show that the people born to the illegitimacy have lots of problems. Let's look at the next one. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the congregation even to the 10th generation. Moabites and Ammonites are children of Lot, conceived by incest. Incest, 10 generations. Curse of God. All of these things, you see, the spirits that go with these curses. The curse is a spoken word. A word that is spoken. There's great power in the spoken word. It is a evil imprecation that comes out of your mouth. And an evil spirit is sent forth with it to bring it to pass. I had a friend from Minnesota who had been a Swedish curse caster. His father had been a curse caster before him, before he got saved. And he used to go out to a hotel, an old building outside of Minneapolis that was part of the Underground Railway. You remember that the Underground Railway was a station of way stations where the escaped slaves made their way across the northern states into Canada. And a lot of these slaves had died here. And he said there was a lot of demonic activity. And he just thought it was a marvelous place. His wife said, spookiest place I've ever been in. I don't like it out here. But whenever he had a curse to cast, he would go out and light his black candles and do his thing. And he said a black cloud would form. He'd speak the curse, and the black cloud would go out to bring it to pass. When he got saved, he'd get out on his face and try to remember all those people he cursed and try to reverse the curses and ask God to forgive him. He was mightily used of God in the deliverance ministry after that, when he was saved. But a curse comes about from the spoken word, and God spoke this. It was spoken by the Holy Spirit through the prophet. It was spoken by God to Moses. Now let's look at the next one. Let's look at the occult. Let's look at Leviticus 18 while we're over here in Deuteronomy. Leviticus 18. These are sexual curses. And I think it's very important you see God said. And then God spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan where I'm bringing you, you shall not do. It says, verse 6, none of you shall approach anyone who is near of kin to him to uncover his nakedness. I am the Lord. To uncover his nakedness means to have sexual intercourse. The nakedness of your father, the nakedness of your mother, you shall not uncover. She is your mother, and you shall not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife, you shall not uncover. She is your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, the daughter of your mother. And it goes on for 30 verses. The 30th verse says, therefore, you shall keep my ordinance. You shall not commit any of these abominable curses which were committed before you, and you that you do not defile yourselves, for I am the Lord your God. Elsewhere, these are curses that are spoken by God, and they carry a curse. Now, people say this is in the Old Testament law. Well, they're curses by God, and they're still in effect. It says you shall not approach a woman during her menstrual period. And it's incest from every, it covers it from all angles. Your neighbor's wife, friend's wife, you're cursed. And let's look at Deuteronomy 18. Verse 9, when you come in the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not follow the abomination of those nations. There shall not be made anyone who makes his daughter or his son pass through the fire, child sacrifice, abortion, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, that's a fortune teller, a sign reader, one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. A sorcerer is one, is a witch that uses music or drugs or potions or amulets. Or one who conjures spells or a medium or a spiritualist. Or a necromancer. A necromancer is one who speaks to the dead. In Isaiah, it speaks about the people who spend all night out on the tombstones. They're an abomination to God. The word abomination means accursed, set aside for destruction. For all these things are an abomination to God. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out. You shall be blameless before your Lord your God. For the nations which you dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners, but for you the Lord has not appointed such to you. The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me in your midst from your brethren, and him you shall hear. If you look at Acts 7:34, you will find that in Acts 3 that Peter, in his second sermon said that Jesus Christ was the prophet. And Stephen in Acts 7 said Jesus Christ, where they quote this scripture and say Jesus Christ was the prophet, and him you should hear. In the case of those of you who say this is Old Testament, I want you to see it's connected to the New Testament by the prophet. Praise you, Lord Jesus. By the Holy Spirit. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. 8. 7. 7. Verse 25. If you've got any abominable things in your house, any little Buddhas, cute little Buddhas, you know, that are valuable, made out of gold, any little Mexican sun gods, any little voodoo dolls, any kind of oriental art, any kind of primitive art from primitive nations, these things are idols. And here's what it says. You shall burn the carved images of their gods. We're on Deuteronomy 8, 25. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not bring an abomination into your house, lest you become an abomination like it. You shall utterly detest it and abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. An abomination is something that is cursed by God. And if you take of the cursed thing, you become a curse like it. That's what it says. It's very plain. There are two words for abomination, and they are both in this verse. He used both Hebrew words from both ways. And utterly detested. God utterly detests idols. That you shall not profit from the gold and silver on them. What does that mean you're supposed to do? Throw it, burn them with fire and throw it away. You got a nice Buddha in your house that you paid money for? Burn it. Get rid of it. You want to sell it and send that demon to somebody else? You curse yourself before God. I remember when God called me to clean my home. First time, I just threw away all my divination equipment, and that night the familiar spirit appeared to me. Full of a long story, I won't go into it, but I bound him in the name of Jesus, and I knew it was real. And about a year later, God really convicted me for my occult library. I had this huge occult library on witchcraft and divination because I was reading to understand these things. And God convicted me of that one night. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, I had this nice house that was set up on the hill, and it went down to the river, and on the river there was this wide area, and I built a big ring down there where my scout troop had a ring, a campfire, you know. And so I hauled a half a cord of wood down there and threw gasoline and oil all over it and got the big fire blazing, and I went down, and I had my little tractor with a thing behind it, and I was hauling these books down and throwing them in the fire. And my neighbor said, "Bill, it's 2 o'clock in the morning now. Is that you over there?" "Yeah, yeah." "Are you drunk?" "No, no, not drunk." He said, "I was about to call the police." He said, the fire department said, "Man, that thing is blazing up." I said, "I'm just burning some trash, Wilbur. Go back to bed." He said, "You sure got a big fire." I said, "It's all right. I'm fine now." I said, "I'm going to be burning trash half the night. I just got to burn it tonight before I go to work in the morning." And so he went on back to bed muttering something about, I'm sure he's probably drunk. But I burned up several $1,000 worth of books. I got into my son's library. He had a bunch of first editions of mythology books and this sort of things. And I burned all those. And I felt rather badly that I had burned my son's library because it wasn't mine to burn, and he was not where I was. And I gave him a check the next day for $2,500 so he could replace his library. But he never bought any more mythology books. God convicted him, but I paid him for his library because I felt that I didn't have a right to burn something that did not belong to me. Although in my zeal, for a while there, my wife thought I was going to burn everything in the house. I had a number of things from Haiti that they brought back. I had a voodoo drum, and I had some very interesting. I had this pair of bookends that was a funny-looking thing, and I'm sure it was an idol. And I paid my cleaning lady who happened to be a practicing witch. So I did not realize it. And I put it on that. I always put a money under that. And so she told my wife the thing that really that started the whole house cleaning was that she told my wife, she said, be sure and have Dr. Null put the money under the bookend. I always like for you to put it there because when you do, I always win at bingo. And man, I won the big prize last night. Said, but Doc's got to be the one that put it there, not you. Said, you had Dr. Noel put it under there. And she told me that, you know, and I said, I began to pray, and I said, you know, we're going to burn those things. We got to get rid of those things. And so the next time she came, the next day my wife said, gonna burn. She said, well, give them to me. And my wife said, oh, you don't want those things in your house. Why, you know, your husband had that bad heart attack. That those demons that probably killed Mr. And she said, no, yeah, I don't want those. And I think y'all get rid of them. And so that was the thing that started the book burning, and I literally cleaned out the house. But I'll tell you, God honored it. God honored it. I can assure you, people, that you need to clean your house. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Why do you need to clean your house? I mean, why? It's nothing but a piece of wood. And you don't worship it? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. But I say, the things which a demon sacrifice is sacrificed to demons, not to God. And I don't want you to have fellowship with demons. That piece of wood gives a demon a legal right to come into your house and stay in that piece of wood. That demon will come out of that piece of wood and torment your family. We had one little kid here that came in that Irma ministered to, and he would say, it. He would get up and scream at night and point and say, it. And nobody else could see it, but the kid could see that demon. These people had a huge Buddha that they bought in Saigon and brought back. And so they'd paid several $1,000s for it, and they were hesitant to destroy it, and so they moved it out of the house in the corner of the backyard. And the child quit having problems. I had one young lady who came into my office. I had one young lady who came into my office, and her child was getting up screaming every night. And she was on the WIC program, and she was an illegitimate child. And they were from a family in the church, and it was the reason I was taking care of them. And she came in, and she said this child was screaming at night. And so I began to, they'd done everything by the time I got to see her to try to stop this child from screaming at night. And so I asked her, I said, do you have any Buddhas in your house? And it finally got down that she had four rock music records, Christian rock music records in her room. And that's all she had. I said, get rid of them. Well, she went down and told these unsaved nurses at the public health department what I said, and they couldn't wait till I got to my office the next day at the public health department. Doc, no, did you really tell her to get rid of those records, that there were demons in those records that was causing her child trouble at night? I said, ladies, I told them that child, that he had night terrors. Now, if you'll go look up night terrors, then maybe you can tell her what's wrong. But yes, I told her to get rid of the rock music because I thought that they might be, that the evil spirits resting in them might be disturbing her child at night. You really did say that? I said, I really did. Let's see what happens. And so then she said she wasn't going to ever come back to you again. I said, well, we'll see. And so she came in the next 3 days later. She had tears in her eyes and said, I took those records over to my friend's house and I left them. And she said, I gave them away, and I have not had any more problems. I said, well, I think that you better go to your friend's house, and you better get them, and you better throw them in the garbage can. Because the Bible says to burn and destroy, and all you've done is transferred it. Now, you go get them and throw them away, or else those spirits are going to come back and torment your baby. She said, I don't want anything bothering my baby. I don't want my baby getting up screaming every night again. And that child hasn't screamed anymore. Now, the nurses never mentioned it to me again. I don't know if she went back and told them or not, but they never confronted me. But I tell you, they were eager to have something to say. But they asked me first if that's what I said. I said, oh, yes. I chase demons. Praise you, Lord Jesus. But you have to be very careful.
even lose your license. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now,
you lose your medical license if you and so you have to use good judgment.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want you to see, people, I've talked about some of the curses. There are a lot more curses in the Bible. Steve Bell has got a book back there with 100-some-odd curses called Breaking Free, and I would recommend it to you. The book by Brother Derek Prince is an excellent text. I would recommend it to you. I can't possibly cover in an hour the entire subject of curses. Now, I'm going to cover a little bit on the spoken word, cursing and blessing. But basically, I want to say, you say, how do curses come into my life? Number one, God has spoken certain curses in the Word of God. If it's a curse in Him, it's a curse on your life. You say, well, the Bible, you know, that's in the Old Testament, that's in the law, that doesn't apply to me anymore. Really? Let's look at Romans. Let's look at Romans. What does it say about the law? Romans 10:4. It says, for Jesus Christ is the end of the law. That's what it says, right? And that's what you hear people quote to you. Jesus Christ was the end of the law. But read the rest of the verse. For Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. In short, you can't get your righteousness keeping the law. The Jews, the Hebrew people, tried for 3,500 years to become righteous by keeping the law. What the law showed them was that you couldn't do it. And it's the thing that the wages of sin is death. You said, fine, Jesus died for me, that I don't have to keep the law as a means of righteousness. Jesus Christ is my righteousness. But does it say it's the end of the law for no, just the fact that you don't earn your righteousness before God by keeping the law. You're righteous before Jesus Christ. But these curses are still in effect. Now, He has given us a way out. That's in Galatians. Let's turn over to Galatians now. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. The blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles or the heathen in Christ Jesus, that they might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus Christ was made a curse for you that you might be delivered for this. And they said, fine, that happened at salvation. Really? Jesus, the Bible also says in 1 John, that Jesus Christ died for the whole world. Are they all saved? Only those who believe and accept Him as Savior. Let's look at the rest of it. Let's turn over to Isaiah 53. All of you are familiar with this? Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed Him stricken and smitten by God. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. That was part of the atonement, healing. It's quoted in Matthew 8:17, and it's quoted in 2 Peter. By His stripes you were healed, 1 Peter 2. By His stripes you were healed. It's an accomplished fact. I see six folks walking around that are Christians. I see sick folks walking around. They've got to accept it and claim it and act on it before it means anything to them. Will they get their healing? It's not automatic. Curses and the lifting of the curses is not automatic either. Or any of the other blessings promised you by the death of Jesus Christ. There was 9 exchanges, 7 exchanges made at the cross. None of them are automatic. They all have to be claimed. He was made sick with our sickness that we might be made whole, may be healthy. He bore our poverty that we might have His riches. All of those have to be claimed. You've got to claim your deliverance from the curse. Curse of the law. You've got to claim your deliverance from curses that are spoken. Now, the point I want to make to you is,
that the mouth, that curses are spoken through the mouth. A parent can curse their children. When God gave me this vision, the first thing he showed me was a man. And he was standing over this little child, about 6 or 8 years old. And he was saying, "You," and he, the foul language came out of his mouth, and he was drunk, and he came out, and he cursed his child, and he told him he was dumb, and he'd always be dumb, and he'd never amount to anything, and he called him a number of other things, and told him he didn't have enough sense to do. Well, praise your Lord Jesus. I mean, it was a bad scene that I wouldn't want to put on tape, wouldn't want to come out of my mouth. And as I was watching that go forth, this blue light hit that child. Just a streak of light just hit him. I said, "What was that?" He said, "That was the evil spirit dispensed by Satan to bring that curse to come to pass. That was a demon." I said, "Well, where in Scripture is that? Where in Scripture does it say that a man can curse, that a father can curse his children?" And so he told me to go to Genesis 27, 10 and 12. Genesis 27, 10 and 12 is where Jacob is going before to steal the blessing. And he says to his mother, I'm a smooth-skinned man. And Esau's a hairy man. If father feels me, he will see that I am a deceiver, and I'll get a curse instead of a blessing. I said, "Oh, yeah." Well, where does it say that God dispenses, that a spirit is dispensed to bring it to pass? He said, "Well, look in Judges." Hallelujah. Judges, oh, I'll have to find it for you, praise God. Hallelujah, where is it? In Judges. And he gave me chapter and verse for it, but unfortunately I don't remember the. But I can praise you, Lord God. In Judges 9, verses 23, here we have the story of Abimelech, who was the son of Gibeon. And he killed Gibeon's 70 sons by his wife. Abimelech was a illegitimate son by a prostitute in Shechem. And he got the men of Shechem in a neighboring village to go down and have him kill them. And all of them got away, but one of them got away. And so he starts at verse 7, and he speaks this long curse. And he says, and he ends in verse 20, "If not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth-Milliam, and let fire come out of the men of Shechem and from Beth-Milliam and devour Abimelech." And then Joab ran away. Verse 23, "God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem and the men of Shechem and dealt treacherously and prayed." In verse 57, and all the evil of the men of Shechem, God returned on their own heads, and on them came the curse of Joab, the son of Jeroboam, which is another name for Gibeon. I want you to see that God sent that spirit. That boy stood up there, and he cursed them, and God sent the spirit. He had a cause to curse them. They had murdered his brothers. Okay. So God, but the point is, I want you to see that God dispensed an evil spirit to bring that curse to pass. That was the point I want you to see. Okay. Now, you can be cursed by someone in position of authority over you. You can be cursed by your boss. You can be cursed by your pastor. You can be cursed by people who have a position of authority. Remember that all authority emanates from the throne of God. It says in Romans that I raise up and I put down, and all authority emanates from my throne. And that person who's in authority is there because I set him up. All of y'all familiar with that verse? Okay. And he has authority before God to curse you. You have the authority before God to reject it. For it says in Isaiah that no voice, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And the voices that come up you shall condemn. And the Hebrew word from condemn means reject. And so you just reject it in the name of Jesus Christ. And you can look in Numbers 5:19-31 is a jealous curse. That's the curse where a man brings his wife before the priest because he thinks she's been stepping out on him. And the priest takes some dirt off the floor and puts it into the water, and he writes a curse out on a piece of paper. Has the woman agreed to it, sign it, scrapes it into the water. Has her agreed to it, to accept it. He hands it to her, and she drinks it. If she's been unfaithful to her husband, then the curse will come to pass, and her belly will swell, and her thigh will rot. But if she has not been unfaithful to her husband, then nothing will happen to her. Authority over you, the high priest in this case, your pastor, praise the Lord Jesus, spoken when wrong. We've just gotten through. I showed you the curse of Joab, the son of Gibeon, cursing his half-brother who had murdered all the family. You can go back and read. That's a very interesting story. And it is quoted later, and that story was quoted to David when he had killed, Uriah the Hittite. Abimelech was attacking the tower, and a lady on the top threw a millstone down and hit him on the head, and he told his armor bearer, "Run me through, lest they say a woman has killed Abimelech." And so, well, that's an interesting story. If you read it, you'll see how it ties together. I don't have time to go into it. It's soulish prayers. You can have a curses come on your family from soulish prayers. Let's look at James 3. Lord, okay. James 3, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if there's bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, sensual, or soulish, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. So if you have someone offering a soulish prayer against you or for you, a soulish prayer, a selfish prayer, a self-seeking prayer, that is a demonic prayer, and there is a demon that goes with it. And sometimes you'll come under attack and you have to raise a shield of faith and say, "Oh, Lord, I just reject all these soulish prayers that are being said. Put the shield of faith over me. Put the helmet of the hope of salvation on my head to protect me, to protect me from the confusion that's coming on me from these demonic forces." That's the reason that you put the armor on, and you lift that armor, which is Jesus Christ, in case you're interested. Every piece of the armor is Jesus Christ. But you lift that shield of faith and you put on the hope of salvation. You know that you are saved. And what is salvation? It is a continuing process. You have been saved, you are saved, and you will be saved. Half of the word, the time that Jesus was healing people, the word used was sovo, salvation. I will come and make them whole. Or he was made whole. It speaks of healing, completeness, wholeness, the hope of salvation. You put the armor on. Soulish prayers. And then there's the witchcraft, professional witch. There are people like that. And they're getting more of them every day. And Satan sends the witches into your churches that will prophesy, give words of knowledge and wisdom. And they pray on the new Christian, on the weak Christian, on the one that's just been hurt. You got somebody's got a divorce, the Jezebels will gather around them. They will just flock like bees to honey. You got a new Christian, one just gotten saved, Jezebel will be over there to lay hands on her so she get the Holy Ghost. It might not be the Holy Ghost she gets. She might get something else. I mean, hey, boy, they're just right there. Praise you, Lord Jesus. That's the reason you need discernment in the body of Christ. You need discernment in the elders. Discernment in the pastor. Let's look at Ezekiel 13. We looked at that the other day. Mildred covered that. If you remember, Ezekiel 13, it said that these were witches. They were giving false prophecies. They were causing people to die that shouldn't die. They were keeping alive people that
that shouldn't stay alive. They were capturing souls. It's witchcraft. Also, witchcraft is an overprotective mother who's going to manipulate her children. A father who will manipulate his children. A wife that will manipulate her husband. Husband will manipulate the wife. And then there's another one. One that's a little more difficult. I want you to turn to 3 John. Look at this one. I don't have this one written in my notes. This is one I generally read when I'm talking to people about offerings. For one, it says here, 3 John, starting with verse 5. Beloved, do faithfully whenever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. And if you send them forward on their journey in a worthy manner of God, in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they came forth for His name's sake, taking nothing from the heathen. Therefore, we ought to support such that we will become fellow workers in the truth. Okay? He should support the godly ministries. Now, let's look over back in 2 John. And it says, verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him to your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. You want to get a curse on you? Support an ungodly ministry. Take God's money that He's given you and send it to an ungodly ministry. You'll get a curse. You share in the good works. You share in the bad works. You support the good missionary, one that's given by God as a godly ministry. You get to share in his reward, just like you are there. You support the ungodly ministry, you get to share in his too. It's not a blessing, it's a curse. I cast a demon out of a... This was very real to me. I cast a demon out of a lady who had given $1,000 to an ungodly ministry. And the demon, I was casting him out, and he said, I've got a right to be him. I said, why? I said, she gave $1,000 to, and he named the ministry. And that gave me a legal right to be him. So I had to have her repent of wasting God's money. Repent of it and break the curse. And the thing came out. There it is in Scripture.
Didn't try to get her to do it again.
Praise your Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. People, I've spoken about cursing. I don't want it to bring fear to you. The good news is that Jesus Christ was made a curse for us and has set us free from the curse of the law, and He set us free. He's given us a shield of faith to ward off the evil darts. Now, you remember I told you that was a piece of blue light that came forth and hit that kid. That was an evil dart, and it contained a demon. And God's given you the shield of faith to hold up. He's given you the helmet of the hope of salvation to protect your mind. And all you've got to do is claim it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given you the Holy Spirit that will show you all things. If you've been involved in the occult in the past, if you've been involved in sexual fornication in the past, if you've been involved in incest in the past, if you have illegitimate children, if you have children who was conceived out of wedlock even though you were married when they were born, if you've rebelled against your parents, for remember, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. It brings a curse. If you've rebelled, you're all under curses. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer to break all these curses. And then we're going to come against the demons. But there's no reason to be afraid. Because Jesus Christ died, shed His blood, and hung on the tree that you might be set free. Praise your Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up now and praise God a little bit. The brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure, and you've all been sitting an hour and a half. Praise your Lord God. Let's praise Him a little bit. Hold our arms up. Get circulation going again. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord, for your great glory. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, inhabit our praises, Lord God. You said that you inhabit the praises of your people, Lord God. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. You are the deliverer, Lord. Oh, Lord, you are our deliverer and our healer, Lord. Without you, there is no healing or no deliverance, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all sit down now. How many of you have never been in a mass deliverance service? Is there anyone here who's never been in a mass deliverance service? Okay. In a mass deliverance service, evil spirits are... The word spirit in Greek is pneumo, meaning air. And they generally come out of your breathing passages. They generally come out of your mouth or your nose. Sometimes they come out of your ears and come out other ways, but they generally come out. And as we pray against them, what I want you to do is keep both feet flat on the floor. Don't cross anything. Don't cross your feet or your arms, because that's a witchcraft sign. Cross your fingers, you can tell a lie, you know. That's a witchcraft sign. Put both feet on the floor and concentrate in your mind. Don't pray in tongues. Don't pray in tongues, but in your mind, set your will against these things and push them out. It's like having a baby. You've got to bring it forth, and you push it out with your will. You say, leave me in the name of Jesus, and set your mind against it. Because the battlefield is in your mind. That's where the roots are. And they will come out. Now, if you think, and you just relax and let go, if you're afraid that you're going to lose your dignity, that you might do something undignified, if you got to choose between your dignity and your demons, let your dignity go. Get rid of the demon, because you can get your dignity back. I mean, if you fall on the floor, that's fine. If you throw up, that's fine. We'll clean it up. When I got, first time I got delivered, I was on the third row right over here, and I fell on the floor and vomited and rolled in it. But I was so happy to get free, it didn't bother me at all. I got up and went upstairs and took a shower and changed clothes and screamed and hollered all the way, because I'd gotten rid of that thing. And that's, if you're worried about your dignity, don't worry about your dignity. Let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. We love you and we want to see you free. Now, I'm going to lead you through a rather long renunciation prayer, because I want to, there's a number of things that will block deliverance. One is sexual sin. Two is unforgiveness. Three is unrepentance. And four is the occult. And so we need to, I'm going to lead you through a rather long prayer in which we renounce these things. And then we're going to go after the demons. Say, dear Lord, with honesty of heart, humility of soul, and conviction of spirit, I do now make the following confession. I have sinned against you and disobeyed your word, whether it be through willfulness, ignorance, or curiosity. I now repent of these sins and ask you to forgive me through the blood of Jesus Christ. But by an act of my will, in the name of Jesus, I close all those doors which I have opened to Satan. And I now ask you, dear Lord, help me renounce all these things. Cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the following. I renounce the occult, witchcraft, magic, all seances, clairvoyance, mediums, Ouija boards, and all other occult games. I renounce all fortune telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal balls, tarot and other card layers, pendulums. Renounce all astrology, the heresy of reincarnation, all hypnosis, mind reading, mind control, second sight, ESP, parapsychology. Renounce water witching, dowsing, levitation, body lifting, table tipping. I renounce astral projection, soul travel, thought projection, and other demonic skills. I renounce all sorcery, dependence on talisman, such as St. Christopher's medals, Mary medallions, good luck charms, rabbit's foots, four-leaf clovers, and amulets. I vow to destroy all that on my person are under my control. I vow I will destroy any idol for foreign gods, such as a Buddha, Mexican sun gods, signs of the zodiac, American Indian dolls, voodoo dolls, pentagrams, zodiac, or other abominations on my person under my control. I renounce all literature I've ever read in these fields. And renounce I will destroy any on my person or in my home. Under my control. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break the following. All curses. All hexes. All spells. All jinxes. And charms placed on me from an occult source. I break the curse of illegitimacy. I break the curse of incest. 10 generations back on my family line. I break the curse of idolatry. Whoredom off of my family line. I renounce any oaths my ancestors ever made. Any foreign religion. Foreign God. The Knights of Columbus. To the Masons. The Eastern Star. Or any fraternity or sorority. Of a demonic origin. In the name of Jesus. I break all curses. Or psychic heredity, or any demonic hold on my family line, as a result of disobedience of any of my ancestors, spouses or ex-spouses. I break all demonic subjugation, demonic soul ties, or bondages to my mother and father, grandparents, spouses and ex-spouses, or any human being, living or dead, who's ever controlled me or dominated me any way contrary to the will of God. I break the curse on my family line of a physical or mental illness. I break any curse on me or my family from a cult of demonic origin. Commanded to leave now. In the name of Jesus. Dear Lord, I confess I've committed sexual sin. I do repent and ask forgiveness. I confess I've committed the following. And hear very quietly, I want you to bow your head. anything that any sin that comes to mind, I want you to confess it very quietly under your breath and ask God's forgiveness. Look straight ahead now. You need to speak it, but it doesn't have to be audible so everybody can hear it. The Holy Spirit can hear it. I claim cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I do accept your forgiving and cleanness according to your word. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. I notify you I'm claiming all areas. I previously yielded to you. I close these doors forever. Specifically, I claim freedom from sexual sin and lust. I bind you and your host. Command me to leave, and command you to leave me. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I have another confession to make. I have not loved but resented certain people. I confess this is sin. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I do now forgive. You need to forgive anyone that you've got ought in your heart against. Anyone who's hurt you, anyone who's abused you, anyone who's stolen from you, anyone who's used you in any kind of ungodly way that you have anything against, you need to forgive them very quietly. Anybody that the Holy Spirit brings to mind, you need to forgive. Anybody living or dead. A lot of dead people control you out of the grave by the fact that you will not forgive them. Their legacy lives on in the hurt in your heart. I do now forgive myself. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead for my justification. You redeemed me by your blood. I belong to you. I want to live for you. I confess all my sins, known and unknown. I renounce them all. I now come to you as my deliverer, Lord Jesus, claiming the promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. As it is written in your word, Joel 2:32. You know my special needs. The thing that binds, torments and defiles, that evil unclean spirit. I call upon you now, Lord Jesus, to deliver me and set me free. Satan, I renounce you and all your works. I loose myself from you. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to leave me right now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, yes, thank you, Lord. Now in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind the spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of rejection. The spirit of rejection by mother and father and friends. I bind rejection in the name of Jesus. Rejection, I bind you. You've got no right. These are God's people. You turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. Rejection, these are God's people. In Him, we see Ephesians 1:6 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. They are not rejected people. They are redeemed people. They have been accepted in the Beloved. They are accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ. They are His family. He is their God is their Father, and Jesus is their big brother. They're not rejected people. Rejection, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to leave God's people. Come on out, rejection, in the name of Jesus. All rejection. Rejection, go in the name of Jesus. I speak to fear. I speak to the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, fear. Fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted, fear of not being good enough, fear of death, fear of cats, fear of the dark. In the name of Jesus, I bind all fear. I bind legion fear in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of death, fear of being sick, fear of losing their money, fear of losing their husband and their children. I bind you, fear, in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. Come on loose. Come on out. Fear. 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 Legion fear, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear, all fear. I bind lust. I bind the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. I bind the lust of the eye. I bind all pornography spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind that evil spirit of lust of the eye. I bind sexual lust in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All lust in the name of Jesus. All lust for money. All lust for power and position and power in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. Lust. Lust, control lust in the name of Jesus. The lust to control people, the lust to have control over people in the name of Jesus. All lust, come out. Come out, come out. Lust for money, lust for money. Lust for power and position in the name of Jesus Christ. Lust for things, I come out. I bind that thing that makes people buy things and spend money they don't have in the name of Jesus. Lust, I bind the lust for riches. I bind the spirit of poverty in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose. I come against witchcraft now. I come against witchcraft. It's a sin of rebellion. I come against rebellion and witchcraft. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose, witchcraft. Come against witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. Come against Jezebel and witchcraft. Come out, Jezebel. Come out, Jezebel, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all witchcraft. All witchcraft. Control all witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I command it to leave God's people. Come out now, witchcraft, in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. Rebellion. Rebellion. Come out, rebellion, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. I break the spirit of bondage over God's people. Bondage to nicotine, in the name of Jesus. Bondage to food. Bondage to nicotine. Bondage to lust. I break witchcraft bondage in the name of Jesus. All bondage to nicotine, to food, to alcohol, to drugs. I break the curse of sorcery in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind the spirit of sorcery. I bind the spirit of rock music in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. All rock music in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of voodoo in the name of Jesus Christ. All voodoo music, come out. All voodoo music, come out in the name of Jesus. I come against all the aliments in the name of Jesus. Come out. All necromancy spirits, come out. All spirits of necromancy. All spirits of necromancy, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose. All spirits of necromancy. All spirits of religion. Religious spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of praying to the saints in the name of Jesus, of praying to dead folks, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the curse of the dead people in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose. All spirits of Mariology, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of the Queen of Heaven, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, Queen of Heaven, in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of the Queen of Heaven. Queen of Heaven, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You turn God's people loose. I break your authority in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come on out, Queen of Heaven. Queen of Heaven, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All bitterness, all hurt, all spirits of bitterness and hurt and rebellion, come out in the name of Jesus. All anger and rage and hostility, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rage and anger and hostility and murder, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, 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 out. All spirits of rage and murder and anger, come out of God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out, out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of paranoia, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of schizophrenia, come out. All spirits of mental illness, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose. Spirit of death, turn him loose in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Spirit of choking and death, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of of death. Come out in the name of Jesus. Death, turn them loose now. All soul ties, I break all soul ties to death in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. All spirits of cancer, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of death, all spirits of stubbornness. Stubbornness is an iniquity as unto idolatry, as unto idolatry. Come out, stubbornness, stubbornness, stubborn self-will. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Unteachable spirits, spirits of being unteachable, spirits of being stubborn and angry and stubborn and unteachable. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose. All unteachable spirits in the name of Jesus, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of anger and rage and hostility, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of homosexuality, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind the Ahab spirit. I bind the Jezebel spirit. I bind the spirits of homosexuality in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. I bind the lesbian spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all lesbian spirits. All spirits of uncleanliness in the name of Jesus. All spirits of uncleanliness in the name of Jesus. All unclean spirits. Come out. Come out. Come out.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.